The scripture for this morning will come from Luke 18. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. Luke 18, 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain, which trusted themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a publican. The Pharisee stood before and prayed thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as these other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not even so much as lift his eyes up to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Good morning.
Glad everyone could be here with us this morning. Again, as Curtis extended the welcome, we would like to welcome you to our services here at 9th and Main. If you are visiting with us, again, let me remind you, if you will, to please take one of those visitor's cards that you see there on the pew, on the back of the pew there in front of you, and fill that out and leave that in the pew for us so that we may have a record of your visit. So glad that you are here. You are among our honored guests. We pray that you'll come and visit with us again whenever you may have the opportunity. The past few weeks, we've been discussing prayer. We've discussed the purpose of prayer, the power of prayer, and the privilege of prayer. This morning, we're going to be discussing the principles of prayer. Last week, as we discussed the privilege of prayer, we saw that few truly benefited from prayer. We saw that only children of God who become such in obedience to Jesus Christ, God actually hears their prayers, and that sinners seeking after truth and righteousness will be heard, and that they will be able to hear the gospel preached and to be able to have the opportunity to obey the truth. That's what we discussed last week. This week, in discussing the principles of prayer, we're going to see then that the full benefit of prayer comes only as we observe these principles. Principles that are laid down by Jesus and his inspired apostles, and principles that determine the final outcome of our prayers. So what are the principles of prayer that must govern our praying? First of all, our first principle this morning is that we must pray in faith. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. Read with me, if you will, verse 22. Matthew 21 and verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Believing what? What are we to believe when we pray? My friend, what good would it do for us to pray to God that he grant to us some of the side, whether it be health or peace, whatever the case may be, if we do not actually believe that he's going to provide for his children? We must believe that God will answer our prayer. We must believe that he will take care of his own. We must have faith that our prayers will be answered. We must have faith. Prayer requires faith. Turn with me now to James chapter 1. Let's see what James has to say about this principle of faith in prayer. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. In verse 5, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God in faith. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Asking in faith is basically what James is saying here. He's telling him, let him ask of God. Pray. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, but he gets there, nothing wavering. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man that asks without faith, think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Prayer will not be answered, my friend, if we do not have the faith that it will be. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Do not doubt, that God has the ability to answer prayer. Notice James' description of he that asks without faith. The person that asks without faith is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You ever been to the sea? You ever seen a wave coming into the shore? You don't know which way or how hard it's going to come in or anything like that. You don't really know anything about that wave. You ever been out in a windstorm and seen a bird trying to fly against the wind? The wind tosses it whatever way it wants to go. It can't make it anywhere. That's the man that does not ask in faith, but rather goes to God in prayer without the faith that God will answer his prayer. Driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A man that says one thing and does another. The man that says he believes in one thing and then it shows in his action that he does not. God through James calls him unstable. He's not to be trusted. He's not one that we are to look to for an example. So we are to have faith that he will answer our prayers. But we're also to have faith in God. Not only are we to believe that God is going to answer our prayers, but we must have faith in him first of all. Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 11. It's a couple of pages over there from James. Notice with me verse 6. And of course, Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the hall of faith in the Bible. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. It is impossible. It can't be done. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is God. God takes care of his own, my friend. God takes care of his people. Those that believe in God and his power to answer prayer will diligently seek him out. How? In prayer. Those that believe in God and believe that he has that power are going to seek God out in prayer. They're going to talk to God on a regular basis. They're going to have the lines of communication open. There's not a doubt about that. But also notice with me Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Many of us ought to be able to quote it. All of us ought to be able to quote it. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do we have faith in God? Paul tells us there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith, belief in God, belief in his word, belief in his son, belief in him doing, being able to do what he said that he's going to do comes by hearing. And hearing by what? Hearing the word of God. Hearing his word preached, studying his word, digging in to the depths of his word, knowing what God wants us to do, knowing what his will is for us. We must pray in faith. My friend, with the aid of his word, we can have the kind of faith that pleases God and ensures an answer to our prayers. My friend, you want a stronger faith? You want a stronger faith in God? Pray. Pray. Go to your God in prayer and study his word. Our second principle of prayer, not only must we pray in faith, but we must pray with humility. Humility is a virtue highly valued by God. We see this throughout the Bible. Turn with me, if you will, for just a moment to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57 and verse 15. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Isaiah says here, for thus saith the high and lofty one. This is God speaking through Isaiah that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Where does God dwell and with whom does he dwell? He dwells with the one that has a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. They're saying in Isaiah, turn to chapter 66. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, And the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hands made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. God looks to him that is humble, that has humility. Psalm 34, verse 18 tells us that the Lord is near and saves those with contrite spirits. Proverbs 3, verse 34 says that he gives grace to the lowly or the humble. See, it's a value that is highly esteemed by the Lord. Are we humble when we go to God in prayer? Thank Anthony for reading our scripture reading this morning, Luke 18, 9 through 14. Humility in prayer is exemplified in this prayer, in this parable rather. We go and we look at this Pharisee and he looks and he lifts his eyes into heaven and he says, God. And then he begins to brag on himself, doesn't he? He wants to show God, he wants to show this publican over here how righteous he is. And he prays out loud and he tells him all the great things he's done. I fast. I do this. I do that. God, look at me. But in contrast, we look at the publican. And the publican can't even, he feels so guilty within himself, he can't even lift his eyes to heaven. But rather, he bows his head and he says, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Simple prayer. And what is Jesus' response? He's the one telling the parable, says, I tell you that this man goes down to his house justified rather than the other. Why is that? See, the publican is humble. He realized that he was nothing more than a sinner, that he was only human, that he had no right to build himself up. We've said this time and again, my friend. You see, God doesn't need mankind, does he? He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. My friend, what we need to realize is that we need God. We need Him. We need Him in our lives. And how else are we going to have Him in our lives unless we pray to Him and we pray in humility, humbly? You see, humility leads to exaltation by God. We have no need to lift ourselves up in this world. God will do the lifting up. Jesus himself says there in verse 14 of Luke chapter 18 that he will exalt the one that humbles himself. We read in James 4 and verse 10 the same thing. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he, who? God, will lift you up. See, I have no need of mankind to put me or you, you have no need of that, to be put on a pedestal. God will take care of that. On the day of judgment, He's going to exalt the humble. Going to lift them up if they're obedient to Him. Pray with humility. With faith and humility before God. We then are prepared to pray with the proper disposition. When we have that faith, when we have that humility, that humbleness about us, it is then that we're ready to go to God in prayer. But we also must pray in harmony with God's will. We must have faith, indeed. We must pray with humility, but that's not all. We must pray in accordance with His will. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. Read with me verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Who? God. Jesus Christ. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. According to His will, My friend, prayers are answered favorably if we ask according to His will. If we ask these things that God has will for us. And what about that? You see, when we pray with more concern of our will than God's, our prayers are going to be turned down. They're not going to be heard. They're not going to be answered. See that principle? Turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Notice verse 3. James says, ye ask and receive not. Why? Notice what he has to say here. Because ye ask amiss, and the last part is the key, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You see, the people to whom James was writing, it seems that they were praying to God, but they were praying for selfish things. They were praying selfishly rather than praying that God's will be done, rather than praying the things according to His will. We must remember, my friend, that we're not promised tomorrow. Jesus told His disciples that were following Him, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. As long as we have food and as long as we have clothing, that's all we need. He doesn't mention anything there about shelter. He doesn't mention anything about driving the nicest car. He doesn't mention anything about having money. Pray according to God's will. We ought not be praying selfish prayers. Be praying for our leaders. Be praying for the health of those close to us. Be praying for the health of those that are in the brotherhood and so forth and so on. We ought to pray that God's will be done in all things. Jesus prayed that way in Matthew 6, 9, and 10. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Giving the apostles, the disciples there, an example of how they were to pray. They taught, they asked Jesus, teach us to pray, Lord. He taught them. He prayed as an example to them what we, what the denominational world often calls the Lord's Prayer. I prefer to refer to it as the model prayer. It's giving them an example. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He prayed there. He showed them that they were to pray that God's will be done in all things. He prayed that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22 and verse 42. He's there in agony in Gethsemane. And he begins praying unto the Lord, and he asked the Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Luke 22:42, once more. You see, here Jesus is, facing the horrible death of the cross, facing the scourging, being flayed alive, so to speak. He's going to be have nails driven through His hands and through His feet. And yet He still prays, Thy will be done. Such praying is also made easier when our will is to do God's will. Turn to John chapter 4. Again, we have an example from Jesus Christ. Jesus in John chapter 4, of course, has talked to the woman of Samaria. The disciples come forth and they're trying to bring Him something to eat. You see, Jesus hadn't had anything to eat or drink for a while, so they're going to bring Him something. And they begin to offer Him this bread, and Jesus says to them, verse 34, my meat, or rather, verse 32, He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And verse 34, we learn what that meat is. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. You see, when we can have that type of attitude, when we have that type of mindset that we want to do whatever the Father wants us to do, whatever the will of God is for us to do, we find that will in His Word, then it's going to be easier for us to pray, Thy will be done, if the Lord wills. when our meat is to do the will of the Father. So let's pray in faith. Let's pray with humility. Let's pray in harmony with God's will. You see, with faith in God and humility toward Him, we will gladly yield to His will for us. That's not going to be a problem. But then, number four, we must also pray with thanksgiving. We see that numerous times in the New Testament, Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God. Philippians 4 and verse 6, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Colossians 4 and verse 2, prayer being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18, pray without ceasing. And in verse 18, we read that in everything, give thanks. See, thanksgiving is to be a big part of our prayer. You see, without the blessings of God, we would not be here. Without the air that we breathe, without the food that we eat, without the clothes that we wear, and so forth and so on, we would not even be here this morning. And so we ought to be thankful to God for His blessings upon us. In everything, give thanks. Even when we fall in to diverse temptations, you see, James tells us in chapter 1, James 1 and verse 4, count it all joy. In other words, brethren, be thankful when you fall into diverse temptations or trials. You see, even when we're going through trials, we ought to be thankful for the grace of God that He's going to see us through. What about the attitude, so to speak, of gratitude? Psalm 100 and verse 4, we read, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. You see, God's people were always to be thankful. And we see God's reaction when they were not thankful. You remember them coming up out of Egypt and they had the manna to eat. They couldn't be thankful, could they? They said that we loathe this white bread. And so God gave them so much they couldn't contain it all. It's proving a point. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful for everything that we have. God's people were always to be thankful. We read in Colossians 3 and verse 15, be ye thankful. Paul writing to Christians, be thankful. We read in Romans 1 and verse 21, we will be turning there for just a moment, to see the opposite of gratitude. Romans 1 and verse 21, you see, ingratitude is an indication of apostasy. It's one of the first indications that one is not where he ought to be with the Lord. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. They were not thankful. Notice the rest of the list. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2 gives us the same principle. We ought to be thankful for what we have, my friend, if nothing else. Be thankful for what God has done for us. In sending His Son to this earth to die for the remission of our sins, we ought to be thankful for that. Do we seriously think, honestly, that God is going to help us with our present burdens if we don't take the time to thank Him for our past blessings? Finally, another principle of prayer is that we must pray in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus taught this Himself in John 14, 13, and 14, telling the apostles that were the disciples, rather, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. Same thing in John 16 and verse 23. Turn now to Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Paul gives us that same principle. To pray in the name of Jesus. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, by His authority. Pray in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? That we must pray in the name of Jesus. You see, the name of Jesus in prayer means more than simply adding in Jesus' name or in Christ's name at the end of our prayers. It's more than that. My friend, it's so much more than that. It's more than just saying that. When we say in Jesus' name, we acknowledge Jesus as the only way by which we can approach God. John 14 and verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what does he say at the end of that statement? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what we acknowledge. Let's don't be flippant with the name of Jesus Christ in our prayers. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We recognize Him as our high priest who intercedes for us. To see this, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Notice verses 24 and 25. But this man, who's that? Jesus. Because he, Jesus, continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he, Christ, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. His name, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, Christ is in eternity now, interceding on our behalf as we go to God in prayer in His name. We must pray in the name of Jesus. When we do that, let's realize how we're using His name. And why we're using His name. We'll be putting away your Bibles to catch a song. We'll be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. The principles of prayer we have examined are these. We must pray in faith. We must pray with humility. We must pray in harmony with the will of God. We must pray with thanksgiving, and we must pray in the name of Jesus. Five principles of prayer that we need all to remember. We cannot, my friend, overestimate the value of the Word of God in regards to these principles. Faith, as we read Romans 10 and verse 17, comes from the Word of God. My friend, humility is learned by reading the Word of God. Knowing the will of God is impossible without the Word of God. Thanksgiving is made easier when we read of our blessings in the Word of God. And the importance of having Jesus as our high priest is revealed nowhere else other than God's Word. With the Word of God to guide and aid us in observing the principles of prayer, we are better equipped to make prayer a truly meaningful and beneficial experience in our lives. There's yet another principle that we'll discuss next week of prayer, and that's persistence. Next week, we'll be discussing that principle, the persistence of prayer. My friend, if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's Church, as we said this week, as we said at the beginning of this lesson, my friend, if you're not in Jesus Christ, my friend, then you need to know your prayers are not being heard, as we discussed last week. You must be a child of God. Are you willing to do that this morning? to become His child? Are you here this morning and believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? If so, are you willing then to repent of your sins, confess His name before men, and be immersed in water to arise again and walk in newness of life? Are you willing to do those things? Friend, if you're here this morning and you have that need, we can help you with that. There's nothing to hinder you. The water is ready. We have clothes into which you can change. There's nothing to hinder you. If you're here this morning, my friend, and you've done those things necessary to become a child of God, but you've fallen away, will you come home? Friends, if you have a need, whatever it may be, will you come now while we stand and while we sing?